I've known Greg Wilson for several years. We applaud his success. We think it's great for Western Kentucky. I'm a big fan of hemp. I'm trying to make sure it stays legal at the federal level. I think at the state level we've gotten a pretty good place. But I think there are things we could do to make it better. But I applaud Greg's success and I wish him more. Greg?
Well, hey everybody. I'm Greg Wilson for anybody that can see this. We make Kentucky Proud Hempwood. So it is hemp that is grown in Kentucky, most of it here in Callaway County, using a soy glue that also comes from our local farmers. So our team are farmers, we are manufacturers. Our supply chain doesn't go for more than one day drive. So everything we do here is 100% made in America, and we have a zero waste process because we use our waste as our energy for the plant. So it's what everybody talks about doing with making building materials. We're actually doing it right here in Western Kentucky, and we appreciate everybody's support. Just look us up at hempwood.com.
Senator Paul, obviously a very busy day today. The wave of the future in Paducah and the wave of the future in Callaway County. What has it been like for you, and what do you see as the future in Western Kentucky?
You know, I always love coming to Western Kentucky. We were debating in the car, am I from Western Kentucky or not, because I'm in Bowling Green. So it depends on who you talk and where you are in the state, but we proudly associate with Western Kentucky, and I love coming out here. I grew up in a small town. I like small town people, and you know, we like to see success too. So seeing hempwood succeed, seeing the possibility of uranium enrichment really coming to fore in Paducah, these are all good things. Because I think a lot of communities, they want their kids to stay. So it's great to see the young people who went to Murray State. I love Murray State. They graduated, but they didn't have to leave to find a job. They were able to find a job here. So I think that's all good, and it's just a great story for Western Kentucky.
Greg, what is the name of this facility right here?
So this is the fluorine factory. We actually just started shipping goods out of here in June. So this is our official ribbon cutting. We had been making hempwood right behind here in our factory that opened in 2019. And so this is the second step. It's bringing 10 more jobs here to Western Kentucky. We have 24 total employees. We have 57 indirect jobs that come from our region right here. And so this is the local farmer manufacturer setup.
What's the full financial investment of the 10 new jobs? Probably, just in your words, what is that now?
So to date, we have put in $6.5 million that we have taken in investment from friends and family and investors. We also have about $2 million worth of grants and loans that we've done. So you're about $8.5 million that you see between these two facilities that we've put in over the last 6 years.
Senator Paul, you recently proposed a Hemp Mobilization Act, and in that act, along with increasing the THC level to 1%, you also introduced mandating transporters to carry documentation on them. Can you explain that conclusion?
Our goal is to get rid of testing the plant. I've always thought it was a wrong approach. Test the final product that people eat if they're going to eat it. In the case here, the hemp that grows the long, tall stalk, and they don't, none of the plant is edible. It's harvested and none of it's eaten. So do you really care if there's any THC in your floor? So it really never made any sense. But at first, people were fearful. Oh, no, what is it? Is it marijuana? What is it? Now people are less fearful, but we started out with a rule that wasn't very well put into place. So I would get rid of the plant testing. That would be our number one reform. The reason you'd have to have a certificate is just to please other people. I think the market would figure it out, but I'm okay with some rules. If you grow the hemp, you'd have a certificate if audited. I wouldn't even send people around unless there's a rumor of a problem. Send them around, you show a certificate that says these are hemp seeds. You really can tell by looking at the crop, particularly for the hemp wood. It's a tall stalk that's being harvested for the wood capacity of it. We would also increase the limit because we think that it'd be easier for the farmers to meet and everybody to meet that limit. But really, the key is not to lower the limit. Right now, the amendment that's being offered in Washington would cut the THC limit in half. And I think it might make it difficult to grow, but it also might disrupt the market. The people who use CBD oil or take the gummies, they want some effect, either to sleep or to feel better or something. It isn't marijuana, but it does have some kind of soothing sort of effect that they appreciate. And so I don't want to destroy that. We have to be careful. It's a $25 billion industry now. We need to be real careful and thoughtful about changing the rules, not to, you know, get rid of the abuses, but let's don't get rid of the whole product. So I'm in the middle of this. and I was able to get them to at least listen to me. And so I've got the other farm states listening to me right now, and I'm gonna. My goal is to speak with Congressman Harris, who was the originator of this language in the House. He's a fellow physician. I'm hoping we can reach a compromise language.
Senator, is this the kind of message you can take back to Washington that a manufacturing facility like Hempwood is the very reason that your bill needs to exist?
Well, and I learned more today that I didn't know either. I know a little bit, but I don't know everything about it. And I was asking Greg, is the hemp grown used at all for any edible purpose? It's like, no, we throw away or chop it up or burn or whatever they do with the rest of it. They use the stalk and nothing else. So if no one's ever eating that plant, why would we be wasting time? And they get inspectors that come out, but they're always, they pass their inspections because the stalk of the plant doesn't have much THC in it anyway. And so we just need to be, regulations should be smart, not stupid. We shouldn't, and what happens, let's say for example, they did go to one of these hemp farms and they found one bud that exceeded the limit, you got to plow the whole thing under. So if you got 3 acres, 5 acres of growing this, and you have one plant that exceeds the limit, you got to plow it under. That doesn't make any sense to me. On the other hand, there are people producing hemp, they're adding stuff to it, the gummies, where it actually may have more of the effect of cannabis. That probably there are going to have to be more regulations on. I think that's where the compromise lies, if we can do that, but I don't want to kill the entire, if we lower the limit, I'm afraid it may destroy the hemp industry.
Sure. You've been a big advocate of this ever since it became a matter back in the 2014, 15, somewhere in there. What was it about hemp that really made you want to support it?
To me, it's always a freedom issue. I'm for more people being allowed the freedom to make their own choices. And so also thought of it as potentially a new industry to replace tobacco. Tobacco's been going down, down, down. This is, and I asked a farmer the other day, can you make more money? I'm always wanting to know the facts. Can you make more money? Why would you plant it if you have all this corn and soybean? Apparently you can make a little bit more. I don't know about a little more. You can make more. Do you know how much more?
So it depends what you're growing it for. This year, our fiber hemp will make more money than soybeans or corn because the price of soybeans and corn are down with tariffs. And so farmers are looking towards alternative crops. A lot more farmers around here are growing vegetables. So there's a big resurgence of growing stuff that we eat because these commodities are getting tariffed and taxed. If you're growing it for the floral, which is a different type of farming, you can make tobacco-style money. So people are making $10,000 an acre, things like that, but it's a lot of labor. It's not mechanized. It's hand-grown. The stuff that we plant, completely different. We use a wheat drill. You plant 1 million seeds an acre. It comes up like wheat, but it's 10 feet tall, and then you sickle bar cut it down, bale it up, and bring it to us, and you get a check when you cross the weight scale right over there. And so right now, with the difficulty in farming, there's a lot of farmers that aren't going to make it this year. Beef is doing well. Some of your specialty crops and vegetables are doing well. But your corn and beans are really hurting. And I know the soybean board that supports a lot of our research here, they're trying hard to find new uses of soybean. And so for biodiesels, for ethanol out of corn, things like that, because our export markets are gone.
The other thought, and I don't know if you've looked at this at all, there was always talk of making dashboards out of molding hemp wood into dashboards, and that some of them were using a plant called canna from Indonesia. Do any of our car manufacturers use that?
Yes. So we have 11 car companies that we currently work with that use our sawdust and our sand dust as a biofiller in plastics.
Oh, really?
And it goes to NASA.
So you are doing it.
It goes to BMW. It goes to Scout Motors. It goes to, there's 11 different companies that we've worked with.
Is there a next step beyond that where you'd make like a whole dashboard, or you think it's always going to be just a composite of other stuff?
Yes, so we have our hemp wood that is used in several of these. The new Scout vehicle coming out of Detroit uses actual hemp wood as the dashboard. And then we have the other companies, and I can show you some of the samples we have in here, that go to make hemp plastics. And that's actually coming from our sawdust and our sand dust. So that is a thing. Oak Ridge National Laboratory started pioneering doing the research on this several years ago. And the results came back that our sawdust, specifically from our saws over here cutting it, had the best connection or the best way of being able to fill into plastics because we already have a soy glue and it's all uniform size. And so when you're compounding it into plastic pellets, it actually makes it a drop-in replacement for using other additives. They haven't figured out 100% on the plastics, but about 25% is happening right now, and it's going into automotive and aerospace.
Does hempwood degrade over time?
So hempwood, if taken outside and buried, is biodegradable. It takes 7 years if buried. When you put your sealers and your coatings and things on it like that, it makes it much more water resistant. You'll also notice in these products that we do here, we do cross-laminating, like cross-laminated timber. We have cross-laminated hemp, and Carnegie Mellon actually just recently built a building with it because it has structural load-bearing capability. So these possibilities of making a OHB-oriented hemp board to replace an OSB, that's happening. We've got patents on it. We've got grant funding that the senator here, his office helped release. It got frozen in January. And then his team checked in with the USDA every other week for 5 months. And just, I signed a Freedom of Information Act release, and I got an update every other week. And finally, they said, just a month ago, they said, you're going to get a call within the next week or two. And they said, hey, you're back in play. And so the structural hempwood thing is happening now. We have a USDA SBIR grant to finish the research of using the soy glue in there. And that's actually going to make as big of a difference of using hemp, because how strong the fibers are. The soy adhesives replacing these formaldehydes and all these different dirty chemicals is the future. That's what everybody's trying to figure out. And how do you actually put that into current products, just like OSB?
Right. Senator Paul, what's it do to you to see a fellow like this so excited about what he's doing in your district?
No, I think it's great. And see the progress from the very beginning, the progress to where we are now. And we wish for more of it. That, the way I look at government in general is my job is to say, what can I do to get out of his way, to get the obstacles and the red tape out of his way? I didn't create this. I can't do it. And government really, frankly, can't do it. Individuals can. Government should keep people from stealing from you, keep people from robbing you, the streets, have some infrastructure for people, but largely stay out of the way of innovation. And this is great because it's a fairly brand-new industry, really, for the U.S. for the most part in the last 10 years.
Only ones in the world doing it. So we did bamboo in China. That turned into a $1 billion-a-year thing, strand-woven bamboo. Now we got hempwood. We got to try to figure out how to do it the same, but here in the States, using soy instead of formaldehyde and hemp instead of bamboo.
So when do you open your third facility out here, you think?
Well, as soon as everybody buys more than I can make, I'll build another one. We've actually been involved in building 64.
That's the idea, expansion, right?
Yep. Since 2003, when I got into this working with the bamboo, we've built 64 of these facilities around the world. So in China, in Australia, in Poland. We tried to do one in Ukraine, and the Russians came the first time. Now
so
we've got two of them here.
This is similar to the bamboo plants that you build?
Yes.
Based on the same premise?
It's based on the same algorithm that I wrote in college in 2003. Based on the Fibonacci sequence is my compression ratio for making the optimum density, which equals your hardness, your stability, and your fire resistance for building materials. So something that grows fast, pulls carbon quick, but is a low density, you compress it times the golden ratio, and then you make something that is hard that replaces an old growth hardwood.
Awesome. Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Senator.